Redo Experience.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the Naina Redo Experience. I am going to be talking about photographing people in public areas specifically related to India. You might have seen or might not have seen the Eyes for Street Style series that I photograph. And I invariably at some point during the year, I will get two or three people either leaving comments on my posts or sending me a DM and asking me the legality of photographing people in public areas in India. So let me clarify, A, this is not legal advice. I am not a lawyer. I would highly recommend that if you are a photographer, a professional photographer, you should speak to a lawyer who understands intellectual property, copyright issues, privacy issues in India as they stand today. The Indian Copyright Act can be accessed online. You can Google it. It is available in its entirety in PDF form. As a professional, you should be able to read and understand what the legal language in that document means. It is not an excuse that, oh, I'm not a lawyer, I don't understand legal language, this is very confusing. That is not an excuse. You should be able to understand legal language. You should be able to understand how it can be interpreted. Every time you go to a location to shoot, you should understand how the location works. You should be able to know and assess whether it is a public location. If it is a closed event, do you have the permission of the organizer to shoot officially? And by officially, I mean, is it written down? Because and obviously Indian laws are different from how laws across the world work. So in India, again, I will repeat, I am not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. You cannot show this video to someone and say that here, you know, this is how it works. But for a general idea, I will tell you how it works. Right now in India, it is perfectly legal to photograph people without their consent in public spaces. What is a public space? The street in general is a public space. So you could be walking on the road. You could go to a place like a Khan Market in Delhi, for example. You could go to a Galleria, for example, in Gurgaon. Or it could be a open market space where people come and go, or people are walking around, and you do not need their explicit consent. Now, there are various factors in this. It's not like you can take a picture and then use it however you like. Please keep that in mind. It also depends on where you're actually going to be using the images. So without a person's consent, you cannot use an image commercially, which means it cannot be used to sell a product. It cannot be used to advertise a product. You can't use it to, commercially, for example, putting it in an exhibition and then selling a print with a person's face in that photo. You can't do that without their consent. And you need a written consent. It's called a model release form. Again, freely available online. So if you do want the usage to be commercial, then you need a person's consent. For something like, for example, my blog doesn't even have ads, okay? So because I don't display ads, anything I display on my blog is not for commercial use in that sense. It can be argued in court that because you display ads on your blog, you are selling something, and using a person's likeness on the blog would then may be considered commercial use. Again, I am not a lawyer, so please keep that in mind. This is my interpretation. I want to play it on the safe side. I don't want anyone to think that I am taking advantage of them and making money because of their images, for example. I have usually photographed street style I've done that in Khan Market. Usually I'm clearly visible. I am standing there in the middle of it all. You can see me from a distance. I have a big lens. So A, I'm not hiding. Although even though if I was sitting inside a cafe and shooting people outside, I'm not really technically hiding. But I still prefer to be visible out in the open public. Because if you hide, it might be considered that you were spying and the person was not aware of what you were doing, and etc. etc. I'm in the open. I am either shooting on my own to show images on my blog or on my Instagram. I'm not selling any products. I am not using those images for advertising. There is no commercial usage. It is just a picture of a person on the street, maybe to showcase what they're wearing, maybe to showcase their hair, maybe to showcase their makeup, etc. So there's no commercial usage, in which case I do not need consent. Now, the law in India about this, when it comes to photographing minors or children in public spaces, I'm not aware of this law. In general, personally, I don't take pictures of kids. In fact, it has happened once where I did photograph a child with a side profile. I was photographing their parent who was wearing a very colorful dress. And as usual, I ended up publishing that image on my blog and it went out on all my social media networks. And the parents saw it and they reached out to me a professional email saying, "Hi, we saw this. We know you do this series. We would really appreciate if you could remove the image." Because they said that they'd had a bit of a tragic story where their first two or three attempts, they were not able to have a child. And finally, they had a child and they had this whole superstitious thing about nazar lag jayegi, etc. And I had photographed it for my own series. It was not a client commission. It was not published in print anywhere on any other website. And I was more than happy to remove the image. A, because I didn't even realize that I had published an image with a child in it. So I think that has been the only case where I have actually ever removed an image per se. Again, I was honestly not legally required to do it. And I didn't even bother checking with my lawyer. I just removed it as a personal favor or an obligation or whatever. I just thought it was the right thing to do. Apart from that, I have had someone comment on one of my images recently, which was shot for a client commission. Again, a client commission for what? The client is a publication who wanted an editorial photo story on what someone wore to the India Art Fair, for example. Okay, again, this is purely, I'm giving you an idea of how this can possibly work. I would suggest that you first check with your lawyer instead of assuming what I say is right and applies to your situation. It can be different based on situations, based on clients, based on locations, based on people, etc. So I had official entry to the India Art Fair as a media person slash journalist. I had media accreditation. So I had the permission of the India Art Fair. Okay, so it was official. I was not shooting there unofficially. Like, otherwise, photographers are not really given permission there. You can go in with a camera, etc., but you're not an official photographer, right? And I was shooting it for a publication who wanted a photo story on what people wear to the art fair, for example. So that was my client who was paying me editorial rates, which, by the way, are usually quite low. And I was shooting publicly. I was in the open. I was walking around with the camera. I was shooting people walking around. And eventually, the kind of images that were shown on the publication's website, they are based on what the editor decides to use. That is not under my control. I give them a set number of images and then they choose a certain number of images and publish that on their website. Now, I always showcase my portfolio on my blog and my social media as well. So there are always selected images that show up on my social channels. So one of the images that I published on my Instagram, somebody must have seen it and they were in the photo and they came and left a comment and then said, "You did not have consent. You did not have my consent. Remove this photo." Now, I don't need their consent. That's the thing. And again, the image is not being used to misrepresent them. It is literally just a photo which said street style at the India Art Fair. So there's no misrepresentation. I'm not showing them in a bad light. I'm not using their image to sell a product. There were no brands that were tagged, you know, where I was saying that, oh, so and so person is wearing this brand. So that could be perceived as, you know, that you're trying to sell something or maybe the brand is paying you. So there was none of that. Now, legally, sure, I did not need to remove the image. I did not need the consent and I haven't removed the image. But in this case, the other factor also is that this was an editorial photo story commission from a publication. So it's not just about me publishing the photo. It's also about that this was published on the client's website, for example. So you need to have all your ducks in a row. You need to be clear that you are officially in the clear. So permission from the location, from the venue, what kind of accreditation, who your client was, what does the contract with the client say, what is the usage of these images and licensing, etc., etc. So in general, the thing is that in public areas, you do not need a permission or consent from people before you photograph them. This applies to India as of today. It might change in the future. In different countries, it's different. For example, in the UK, you cannot photograph people on the street. I mean, at Fashion Week, it's different. But if you're on the street and you can't just, it's called their likeness. You can't use their likeness without their permission. So in that case, it does apply that you would need their permission or their consent. Similarly, in Dubai, for example, you basically cannot shoot in public spaces. So the laws in Dubai are even stricter, for example. So in India, that law doesn't really apply where that you need consent or you need permission. Generally, use your common sense. Speak to a lawyer friend who understands intellectual property rights, who understands privacy, who has worked with other photographers. And you'll be surprised, laws are not all that expensive. And it is good money spent because you would be able to draft a contract. Once you'll have to pay the lawyer to be able to draft your contract with your clients, and then you can use that contract for the rest of your life. So it's a one-time investment. You'll be clear. You won't have to think about, oh my God, somebody left a comment on my social media. What should I do? And people don't understand their own rights, which is on them. It's not on me. So if you don't understand what a public space is, how consent works, how photography works, how professional photography works, that's not my problem. That is another way of dealing with how you deal with social media, the way people come and leave comments and the things that they say. And most of the time in my head, I'm like, what are they talking? They have no idea what they're talking about. I don't engage with these people, A, because this is not a professional communication forum. If you want to reach out to me, send me an email. My email is publicly visible on all possible platforms. Even then, I am not obligated to respond to you because you clearly don't understand your rights. If you see an image of yours that is being used online and you don't want it to be used, your first recourse should also be to speak with a lawyer and understand where you stand, what your rights are, etc. And then the lawyer will clearly tell you what are the possibilities in this case. And if there is something there where you think that I have actually fucked up or I don't understand what I'm doing, and then we can get in touch. We can put the lawyers in touch. They can talk it out. And it doesn't have to be personal. You can figure it out on a professional level. I always suggest drop contracts to photographers, speak to lawyers. But seriously, if you don't understand how the law works, how can you come to my feed and my blog and say things like, you don't have my consent, remove this image? No, that's not how it works. Like, I am probably one of the only bloggers in the country who doesn't even show ads on the blog. Because everyone is like, "Arre, you should put ads on the blog. At least ad revenue to aayega, clicks aate hain." The reason is I am a photographer. The reason my blog doesn't have ads is because I don't want any gray areas when it comes to commercial usage of any images that I shoot. My blog has always been a space for me to document what I do, share some of my learnings. Maybe it'll help someone else, especially in the Indian industry space where there's not a lot of stuff that's available. You know, as an Indian photographer, you don't really know what the laws are because nobody really teaches you, because there aren't a lot of professional schools that teach photography. So when you have not been through the professional channels, you don't really know what are the things to look at or even what are the questions you should be asking. So my blog has never been a space where my user is a product. I am not looking to do that. That is why there are no ads. So ad revenue is, you can make, you know, do ad revenue. If you're a professional ad revenue person, then that's what you do. And otherwise, you're not going to make a lot of money putting ads on your blog anyway, unless you really understand what Google ads are, how these ad channels and networks work. You have little to no control over what shows up in the ads on your blog, things like that. So I didn't even want to go there. That is not my specialty. My specialty is that I am a visual artist and I document my work online. So there are a lot of factors that you need to consider before you can decide whether, you know, street style photography is for you. A lot of times photographers have been criticized for photographing poor people. It's also termed as poverty porn. A lot of times what happens is, like, for example, when I photographed the street style series at the New Delhi railway station, most of the people there are from the lower middle class or even poor people who travel on trains daily because that is the only means of transport available to them or accessible to them. And I technically, again, I didn't have to ask them. Nobody came to me and said, you have to give me $50 because you just took my photo. It depends on what you're doing it for. It was a photo commission for a photo story on an editorial publication. I was not using those images. Even in an exhibition, I would not use those images where those images are available for sale. I could still put up an exhibition and say that these are available just for viewing and I'm not selling them. If I would sell them, I would need to go back and get in touch with that person, get their permission, get a model release form signed, and there would be some form of either revenue sharing equally, or they'll get, I don't know, depends on how it works. You can decide whether they get 50%, they get 90%, how does it work? I have no idea. I've never done that. Till now, I don't plan to do that. If I ever do an exhibition where I'm using people's faces, it would have to be only after I have had a model release form signed by them. But for a street style commission or a street style photo story where it's a public place and I'm not going to be using the images commercially or for advertising or selling the images, I don't need people's permission, not in India as of now. So that was that. If you have any other questions related to professional photography in India, how things work, etc., I'm happy to do additional episodes on the podcast. I also have written a bunch of stuff on my blog about some subjects, not all of them, because it's a vast subject. There are lots of questions people have, and I have to keep telling them I am not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. You will not be able to use this in court to defend yourself. Please find a lawyer. They're not that expensive, who understands IP rights, privacy issues, maybe someone who's worked with photographers in India previously. So thank you for listening. Bye.